Welcome back to College Confidential. Before the break, we talked about what happened on St. Patrick's Day 2012, including the lead-up to the riots, as well as the riots themselves. Now we'll focus on what happened afterwards, the immediate aftermath, and the fallout of the events, as well as the long-term strategies that have been put in place by police and community leaders to keep similar riots from happening again. But first off, the day after. On Sunday, March 18th, Police Chief Brad Duncan and Mayor Fontana appeared at a news conference before the media, as well as a public hungry for answers and punishment.
As Chief of Police, responsible for the safety and security of our citizens, I can emphatically state that we will not tolerate this lack of respect for our community, our laws, and specifically this neighborhood. I have directed that we maximize our resources in terms of visibility and strict law enforcement. To the students and others who have committed these criminal acts, we are engaged in identifying those involved.
Mayor Fontana.
To say that I am disappointed and disgusted would be an understatement. I think we expect our young citizens, and I'll use that word rather cautiously, citizens, young citizens that go to school, don't go to school to learn that it's appropriate to have civil disobedience of this magnitude. This is an unacceptable behavior. I think the police chief has indicated that all force of the law is going to be brought upon them. They will pay, and enough is enough.
That day, police had already charged 13 people, including 6 Fanshawe students, and that was just the beginning. Fanshawe's response to the riots was similar to that of Duncan and Fontana. Then Fanshawe President Howard Rundle appeared at a news conference March 19th, the Monday following the riots.
As president of Fanshawe College, I am extremely disappointed, I might even say angered, at the behaviors of all of those individuals who were involved in the incidents around Fleming Drive on March 17th and in the early morning hours of March 18th. I want to assure you we are taking this matter very seriously and will continue to do so in the coming weeks. I fully supported my staff's decision to immediately issue 6 interim student suspensions as the result of charges laid by the police on Saturday. And as of this morning, we have suspended 2 more students.
Then president of the Fanshawe Student Union, Veronica Barahona, agreed with the college's decision to suspend students that were found to be involved and to expel those found convicted. I tried reaching out to a few people who had been charged and whose names had been publicly released in the months following the riots, but none got back to me. Soon after, questions arose about the cause of the riots. How could something get so out of hand? Police Chief Brad Duncan.
When we looked back and we basically took apart what happened that day, obviously the weather was a factor, but we also know that social media played a big part in terms of gathering individuals, many of whom were not students, and we've emphasized that since, that although students were charged afterwards during that evening, many people were drawn to that particular area.
Marty Thompson.
The conditions were right for it. Everything sort of added up. It was like the worst possible day to be a police officer because it was warm and people were drinking. That many people going to that area, it's going to have a bad effect, because I can literally remember going on to the Fanshawe students Facebook page and someone commenting saying, well, where's the party tonight? And then someone just said Fleming. I think that was everyone's idea. I would talk to people and they're like, yeah, I just came here. I was like, did you know anyone? Like, no. It's kind of surreal to think that they're going to a neighborhood for a party. They're not going to a house party. They're not going to a bar. They're going to like a particular block.
For years, the Fleming area was a source of problems for police in Fanshawe. Things had gotten so bad around Fleming Drive that in 2007, Fanshawe revised the college's code of conduct, making possible the imposing of fines and suspensions for off-campus rowdiness. But Duncan says the riots in 2012 came as a surprise. The Fleming Drive area and problem areas around Western University for the few years leading up to 2012 seemed to be getting better. Chief Duncan.
Succeeding years prior to that with Project Learn, we actually saw a de-escalation in terms of the types of charges we were laying. In particular, criminal charges were dropping. The provincial offenses usually remain steady, but that's as a result of our enforcement activities. So 2012 became somewhat as a surprise, because we were certainly anticipating that we were on a better road.
Soon after the riots, police instituted a no-tolerance approach to parties and drinking offenses and adopted the public nuisance bylaw that gave authorities a better ability to quell large parties and gatherings.
There was no warnings. If you had a large noisy party, you were charged. Because we had to send a very strong message, because we had been in these neighborhoods, quite frankly, for years. And obviously the message wasn't received, and so we undertook to do that.
The new no-tolerance stance was criticized by many as being too heavy-handed and resulted in many tickets being issued on Homecoming that year and St. Patrick's Day in 2013. Not long after Fleming, leading up to the 2012 Homecoming celebrations, which also see a high number of students in areas around Western, police say they started testing the effectiveness of the bylaw during the fall implementation of Project Learn. Project Learn is a police-initiated campaign aimed at curbing unruly behavior in student-heavy areas. It was around this time, they say, they began a door-to-door canvassing strategy. Police at the time said the aim was to obtain resident information in those areas to, quote, assist us in quickly identifying residents who would be able to authorize the police to remove unwanted guests. The following year, 2013, the canvassing was further expanded. Police collected names, phone numbers, and even the names of the residents' parents. When it was first reported in the London Free Press that October that such a campaign had actually been going on, mixed in with the already strong criticism about the post-Fleming no-tolerance approach, students and many in the public were not happy, and many called for the complete axing of Project Learn altogether. Current Fanshawe Student Union President Adam Gourlay, though, says he doesn't believe in scrapping Learn completely.
Well, Project Learn's been around for years, and it's effective. I think scrapping Project Learn would be a big mistake, because I'd rather have something for community safety than nothing at all and start again. At the same time, it did go a little far with taking the names and information and parents' information, all that. And again, we weren't privy to that. The data has shown that Project Learn has been mainly non-students that are getting fined. They're focusing on student areas, but that's just because that's where the complaints were coming from.
2 days after the initial free press reports, on October 21st, Chief Duncan announced that an internal review of tactics used during Learn would be taken. Duncan and student leaders would meet the next day to discuss the canvassing and the issue of no-tolerance ticketing, with both sides being able to present their feelings and wants. Chief Duncan.
We met with Students' Council, recognizing that students change. In other words, people move on, new students come in, and they felt that some of the students that were being part of the zero enforcement policy had never been here when Fleming took place. So I listened to them as chief, and I said to myself and to my command staff here, well, let's examine what it is that they're asking for. At the end of the day, I said to both student council presidents and student union president, Adam Gourlay, you know, if you do your education piece on your side of the fence, and we'll do ours here, and we'll also commit to reinstituting a policy of warning that if we come back to that residence, there is no choice. You're going to get a ticket.
Following the meeting that Thursday, October 24th, it was announced that information collected during Learn would be destroyed, and from that point on, police would revert back to warning students before ticketing them, officially abolishing the no-tolerance approach. The last 2 years have seen police stepping up presence during student-heavy events, and Gourlay says police and student leaders have been working together to mend the relationship between students and authorities that was damaged in the wake of the canvassing controversy. This St. Patrick's, for example, saw FSU President Adam Gourlay and USC President Pat Whalen appearing in a London police video asking students to respect their neighbors, officers, and community. I spoke to Chief Duncan the day after St. Patrick's 2014. This year, thanks to scrapping no tolerance, Duncan says they issued far fewer tickets and saw a much more positive response from students and others in the community.
We saw some changes last year in 2013. Fanshawe, Fleming Drive, Thurman Circle area was virtually nobody out and about. And this year, although we issued a few warnings up in that area, most people realize now that if you're going to have a party or a social gathering, it's got to be in the context of being responsible. In fact, last year on St. Patrick's Day, we issued 274 tickets. This year, we only issued 74. That really demonstrates that the message is getting across. People have used the word, you know, success. Chief, was it a success? I think on many levels it was. It wasn't just us. It was a clear partnership with our student councils, which has really changed it. And I was out yesterday all day long, and I saw the interactions with our officers. There was lots of people that were asked to dump their alcohol yesterday by me, and for the most part, we were met with compliance and apologies, and so we said lesson learned, right? Spread it around. And I hope it's a starting point. We're going to keep working with our partners right into the fall to ensure that this message continues, because why not ride this wave of success? At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Mutual respect. We saw a lot of it yesterday.
A few days after this year's St. Patrick's, I asked FSU President Adam Gourlay, who had gone on a ride-along with police this year, where he wanted to see Project Learn go.
It has to develop into an education piece. It has to. I don't have the answers as to how that's going to happen, but I know that it has to happen. The education piece would revolve around a couple of key points, and that would be the community safety, safety of all the residents and the students and the two institutions themselves. And as well, it would be an education piece on moving forward. If you develop it as an education piece, the police are less likely to knock on doors and say, well, guess what, you have a fine. And then the students are less likely to say, well, the police are the bad guys. In any case, neither of those is the truth. I've always been a fan of the fact that have a police presence in terms of safety. At the same time, students have to assume that the police aren't out to target them. And I did notice that on my ride along was that students kind of have this stigma. And that's not saying that that's a false stigma. That's how people are going to view the law enforcement. Sergeant Cowan was being very nice and respectful to some students, and some students were just scared they were going to get fined. USC is working with LPS and the city, and as well as FSU is giving feedback. I don't see a riot happening there because they are being a little proactive with it. But I mean, anything can happen. All it takes is a couple people to do something stupid to ignite a whole crowd.
Chief Duncan.
This can't solely be a police operation. I mean, I can put as many resources as you want each and every year. I can lay as many charges as you want. We can make arrests. But is that solving the problem? It is not. If I have to keep adding resources year after year, it's not eliminating the neighborhood problems. What we saw yesterday, we actually saw a reduction and an elimination of the hot spots that traditionally we've experienced year to year. That's what was important yesterday. And really, we did not experience any significant issues with the people that we interacted with. The messaging, the ability for the community to come together and make a positive change. Yesterday, you know, we have lots of people that say, oh, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, you're never going to be able to deal with it or control the situation. I think yesterday was a really clear example that we did.
In a bit of odd timing, days before the news broke about the police canvassing, the 68th and final person involved in the riots was charged. After pleading guilty to three charges in January 2013, 23-year-old Tyler Garlick, a graduate of the Fanshawe Police Foundation's course, instead of serving time in jail, was given a 16-month sentence in the community that included 13 months to be spent under house arrest. The justice in the trial said he chose against jail time because Tyler was making efforts to fight his issues with drugs and alcohol. In the end, the riots totaled around $500,000 in both damage, as well as the three-month police investigation that involved 12 full-time officers. At one point, as many as 72 members of the London Police were working on the investigation. 68 people, 26 of them Fanshawe students, saw a combined 175 charges laid when it was all over. One person was sent to jail. One news truck was torched. And in the case of Tyler Garlick and many others, one second chance. I'm Matthew Trevithick. Tune into the next installment of College Confidential tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. right here on 106.9 The X.